as part of a collaboration between The Day and the University of Connecticut's Department of Journalism, we bring you a series of audio reports called Sound on the Sound, which explores how music shapes New London. The UConn journalism students spoke to musicians, business people, city and regional officials, educators, and others. In this episode of The Storyline, we hear a story written and produced by Madison Gardner.
How do we heal? With medicine? Rest? Maybe time? What about music? Amid an unprecedented pandemic, mental health has decreased detrimentally. More and more people are looking for help in this new and closed-off world, but how do we get there? Today, we're diving into music as a form of healing, and we're going to start with the remedy of music therapy, this time set on the sound of New London, Connecticut. Music therapy was solidified in the 1940s by the United States War Department. Its aim was to help recovering military personnel after the war. The National Association of Music Therapy and the American Association of Music Therapy were also formed in this decade, but its origin dates even further back to the 18th century, where although it wasn't largely accepted, it still existed in the form of a published article by an unknown author, titled Music Psychically Considered. Now, the question I have about music therapy is a broad one, but also something I believe other people want to know as well. What exactly does music therapy encompass, and does it actually work? I talked with Janelle Posey Green, a therapist out of New London who also specializes in music therapy, and this is what she had to say.
Music therapy on that is a modality used through tools, and it could be anything from your hands. You don't need a piano or the Tibetan healing bowls necessarily to use. You can use your hands, you can hum. So basically, it's the use of sound and vibrations being able to heal from mental health.
Janelle mentions healing bowls, humming, and different forms of clapping, and this took me by surprise. I then asked Janelle if modern music was ever incorporated in music therapy or if it were mostly instruments. She recognizes then that it's all up to her client.
I meet my client where they are. I have a specific person, that I absolutely loves Taylor Swift. When we do some of our journaling, I'll put on Taylor Swift music for her, and she will, it's almost like she comes alive, right? She's able to think because she's so motivated by either the beats or the sounds, or just because she specifically really cares about that artist. But either way, it motivates her enough to be able to really dig deep inside of her when she's doing the journaling. So that's just one way.
Janelle believes that music's history of helping people overcome hardships is part of the reason it's being adapted into therapy today.
But I'm a woman of color, so, and I'm specifically from New Orleans, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So music, if you look at blues, you look at jazz, you look at especially maybe even from an African-American lens, music has been used specifically by some of my ancestors in times when they were deeply oppressed to be able to express themselves and get through these hard times of slavery and Jim Crow. Mm-hmm. And music also is a cultural aspect of being able to orally pass on stories and lessons from generation to generation. So to me, music is something that is almost sometimes like a timestamp, right? You can tell so much about what the person was feeling, maybe where they were in the world at that time, maybe who some of their influences were, because one of the things that we definitely pride ourselves on here in America a lot of times is coming from mixed ancestry, right? Mm-hmm. So you may find certain rhythms will have other rhythms from different parts of the world embedded in a song, and then it comes to find out that that person has a multicultural lens.
Through hard times and difficult transitions, therapy has always been a recommended treatment by mental health professionals. But those recommendations aren't always taken, especially with the stigma surrounding therapy. So although therapy isn't most people's first resort, especially music therapy, music on its own might be. I spoke with Daphne Parker Powell, a singer-songwriter with roots in New London and now lives in New Orleans, who, although hasn't experienced the remedy of music therapy, she did find that music has healed her in her own personal and individual way. Through her art of writing music and the healing atmosphere of performing it, Daphne feels like music has healed her spiritually and been a consistent rock for most of her life.
Well, it seems to me that music has only more recently been recognized by the medical community as a healing tool. And the more we learn about how our brains work, the more we can put music to that task. I'm not an expert in any of that, but in a more traditional sense for me, music has always been a big part of social life. You know, instead of turning on the TV, it's more fun to pick up a guitar, sing with family and friends, you know, plug in the computer and produce something, you know, record something, write something. You know, it didn't have to be good. For me, it was just an easy way to get emotional release. And I learned that even as a small kid, just singing made me feel better. It worked if I was having a great day and I wanted to celebrate. It worked if I was having a really terrible day and I needed to get through it. It just served in that way. You know, my first experience with music growing up was in my congregation. And I think a lot of us experienced music as a participatory thing in church in some fashion or another. And a lot of spiritual music is sort of designed to be emotional, even from the way that it is composed, how simple and accessible it is, to the idea of it being like mystique, divinity in a way. And so it's felt like a pathway to a better place, a connection to something bigger, ethereal by its nature. So
that pathway to a better place was found within her and in other people too. As Daphne recalls going to New London and meeting a myriad of different people who all love the same thing, music.
Well, New London has such a history as a music destination. It's one of those little hidden gem kind of towns that where artists like to congregate. You know, it's a cheap place to live. The community itself doesn't mind the noise and the chaos that comes with the creative process. You see that in examples like the L&G Club and in Hygienic Art. You know, so it's been a welcome environment for experimentation, and it's been really open, particularly for younger people who are trying their art on stages and in galleries for the first time. I came to town in 2002, and I'll go ahead and date myself. I was 22 years old then. I started getting involved in the art scene about 2004, and that, you know, was such a beautiful moment in the sort of arc of New London. You know, it's had roller coasters. There was a big period in the 70s and 80s where there were tons of clubs and tons of bands and music, and then it kind of hit a lull for a while in the 90s, and then it was on the rise again. And for that decade between 2004 to 2014, there was just an incredible number of bands and venues and opportunities to do music. Everybody wanted to play. Everyone wanted to play every instrument and every style, and everybody wanted to collaborate with everybody else. I must have worked with, you know, 8 different drummers during that time. It was extraordinary. And the more people you work with, the more you learn, you know, you're learning from each other. So it's really easy to become immersed in it and just seem like endless possibility.
Where Janelle specializes in using music to evoke emotion, Daphne specializes in the opposite, using her emotions to create her music.
I'm a writer of music as well. So for me, in the writing process, I've used it as a way to purge emotion or to conjure it up. So, for example, when I went through a devastating divorce about 5 years ago, I was having a hard time functioning, eating, sleeping, thinking. I was pretty listless, and all I could seem to get myself to do was work and sleep. So I decided to challenge myself to write one piece of lyric poetry every day for a full summer long. And I ended up with about 90 pieces. And some of them were short, like a haiku, and some of them were epic. But every day, because I had committed myself to it, no matter what I was feeling, I was able to go back and look on that project with pride in the sense of accomplishment for having done it. And then I ended up with some really delightful, sometimes poignant, but very therapeutic expressions. Right now, I'm actually making an album based on about a dozen of those. So for me, it's definitely both the journey and the destination. Mm-hmm.
Daphne tells me a story of a really heartwarming moment between her and some others after a bandmate of hers passed away in 2008. I'll play the story for you now, but I just wanted to highlight this common theme throughout her interview about unity and how a big part of music for her and healing is about other people. How it brings us together, how it allows us to lean on one another, or give each other things that we couldn't get alone. Even in the process of music therapy, whether it's Chanel clapping while you talk or listening to Taylor Swift with you as you recall your most life-changing moments, music is about healing because music is filled with other people who want to heal too.
I had the experience of losing a bandmate to an overdose back in 2008. It was a total accident. He was struggling really hard with a chronic illness that caused him unbearable pain at times. And while we all feared that it might happen, there wasn't much we could do when that day came and we got that call that you never want to get. We all gathered together at the local watering hole in New London, just organically. No one planned it. We just all ended up in the same place. And we just drifted in to hug and tell stories and cry together. And what we decided that we wanted to do in his honor was to start a scholarship to send young artists to music school. It's what he would have wanted. It was his gift of music that we wanted to sort of perpetuate forward. And for us, creating more music in his name felt like the best way for us to heal from that.
So, it's evident that music is a powerful healer, acknowledged both by the medical field and the hearts of those whose lives revolve around it. Music is an escape from life and a crutch for dealing with that same life, and its resonance echoes loudly through the New London Sound.
I would just encourage anybody that's on the fence about taking guitar lessons or singing lessons or piano lessons or joining a band or writing a song for the first time, don't be afraid. I think a lot of people think you have to be good in order to take part in music or naturally talented to use its full potential, but you don't at all. Just throw that idea right in the trash. If you love it, if you feel it, experiment with it or any kind of art. It doesn't even have to be music, but see what doors it opens up for you. It'll get your mind moving, and you never know what you have not imagined yet might open itself up to you. So that's the last piece I have to leave.
Both songs featured in this audio story are courtesy of Daphne Parker Powell from her album Scared Fearless. The first song played was Willing Victim, and the second song played was Till We Meet Again.